Thank you to Wyatt, and we appreciate so much the presence of all of you that are here this morning, and we join with Dwight in mentioning about the special contribution for Clint Ellis and Emeril next week. I had the opportunity to talk with Emeril yesterday. Clint is doing well, and they're in hopes that he might be dismissed from the hospital today and going to an apartment. Now, they will stay in the Dallas area for about 3 weeks, and of course, that costs money too. And I know that all of us want to help them, and it has come to our attention that there is that need there, and we want to respond in loving ways. And so following that regular contribution next week, then we will have that special contribution for the Ellis family. I appreciate all the elders being responsible and the deacons who have responded in kindness wanting to do that as well. I hope that all of you will be here tonight at 6 o'clock. And I hope that you'll make that special effort to be here. And if you'd like to work in Bible Hour, as already been mentioned, we hope that you'll make that point to be here this afternoon at 4:30 as well. You know, we want to talk this morning about the idea of how to keep your foot out of your mouth. How many of you have ever put your foot in your mouth in the sense that you have said things that you wish you had not said? I think probably every one of us in this audience today could truthfully say that we have been guilty of putting our foot in our mouth. So how do you keep your foot out of your mouth? And as a text this morning, I refer you to the book of Proverbs, the 8th chapter, verse 1 through 8. King Solomon said, "Doth not wisdom cry, and understanding put forth her voice? She standeth at the top of the high places by the way of the places and the paths. She crieth at the gates, at the entry of the city, and at the coming of the doors. Unto you, O men, I call in my voice, is to you the sons of man. O ye simple, understand wisdom. And you fools," he says, "be ye of an understanding heart. And hear, for I will speak of excellent things. And the opening of my lips shall be right things. For my mouth shall speak truth, and wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are in righteousness, and there is nothing froward or perverse in them." Would to God that all of us could say that this morning, and that we could join with King David in perhaps uttering these words. "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O God." I know one thing, that all of us have to watch our words. We say things at times that we should not say. Sometimes we say it in haste. Sometimes we say it, as we were singing a moment ago, with angry words. And sometimes people say, "Well, he didn't mean anything by that," or "She didn't mean anything by that." You know what? The Bible says, "From the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh." And it is true, and it is something that we all need to learn, even from our youth up. Babies have to learn the same thing. So I want to talk to you this morning about how to keep your foot out of your mouth. The way that we do that, first of all, is by speaking profitable words. You know, we speak a lot of words every day. I don't know how many of you know how many words a man will speak in a day's time. I researched this not long ago, and it is amazing to me that we would speak this many words. Did you know that a man will speak 15, on the average, 15,000 words in a day's time? You know how many words a woman will speak in a day's time? 35,000. Isn't that amazing? I said that to my wife, and she said, "Yes, that's because women generally need to repeat themselves." Well, that may be true. That could possibly be true. But in the book of Proverbs 18 and verse 13, King Solomon again said, "He that answereth," and I want to use this as we go through the lesson today, "He that answereth a matter before he heareth it, it is folly and a shame unto him. Now listen to that again. Sometimes we speak when we ought to be listening. Our words are at work every day. Your words are. My words are. Every one of us work with our words. And can you imagine being at a place of business and not being able to use words? Or perhaps going to school and not being able to hear or use words? Can you imagine a preacher being able to preach without words? Well, it would be impossible perhaps for this one. But in the book of Psalms 141 and verse 3, David said, "Set a guard over the door of my lips, O Lord, and keep watch over the door of my lips. Help me to watch my words." And then in Proverbs 10 and verse 19, "Too much talk leads to sin. Be sensible," one translation says, "and keep your mouth shut." You know, one of the hardest things in the world for us to do is to shut our mouths. Because we feel sometimes that we have to say something about everything. Or we have to address every subject that comes along. I like Proverbs 15 verse 1. "A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger." And isn't that true? It is true, isn't it? Sometimes we speak a lot of harsh words in those words that we employ in our daily lives. Proverbs 16:24, "Gracious words are like a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the body." You know, words can make you sick. Sometimes people can say things to you that just get you gut level, that really disturb you in a physical sense. I mean, they can make you sick to your stomach. And then there are words that are spoken that can lighten your burdens, remove your anxieties. And when you feel that you have been through the famine, and when you have been through the flood, and when you have been through the fire, someone can come along with a kind and loving word. And they can heal our spirit, much like the sweetness of a honeycomb. King Solomon had much to say about words. Christ did too. But in Proverbs 29 and 20, "Do you see a man who is hasty in his words?" Now listen to this one. "There is more hope for a fool than for him." A person that is hasty in his words. Now think about this a minute also. Sometimes when we hear something, we're in haste, we say things we ought not to say. We just take the guard off of our lips and we just speak whatever we want to speak. There are four things in life that you can never, ever recover. A stone after you throw it, a word after it is said, an occasion after it is missed, you'll never get it again. Or the time after it is gone. Words kill, but words give life. They are either poison or fruit. And you and I, according to Proverbs 18:21, have the power to choose what our words will do. Let me ask you this morning, are your words healing or are they being destructive? The tongue has the power of life and death, Proverbs 18:21. And then in Psalms 19, verse 14, "Let the words again of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer." You see, words are free. It's how you use them that may cost you. And you know what? Unkind words can cause a lot of damage. They can break relationships. They do. They destroy friendships. Doesn't that song say, "Friendship is so sacred far"? We don't want to do anything to break a friendship. They are profitable for saving the lost. Jesus said, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel." You preach the gospel where those words can become saving words. Those words are profitable to serving God every day in our life, aren't they? They are profitable for strengthening the weak. Someone is weak spiritually as a brother or a sister in Christ, and you can come along and you can lift those brothers up. You can encourage them. You can motivate them. You can provoke them unto love and good works. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 24 and 25. But we must not only speak profitable words, we must speak pure words. How important is it for us to speak pure words? Let me read that passage again in Proverbs 18. He that answereth a matter before he heareth it, it is folly and a shame unto him. And it is, isn't it? Sometimes we are so quick and so prone to answer or perhaps say things before we hear the whole story. How many of you have ever heard people say, well, there's two sides to every story? And that's true, isn't it? Your side, my side, his side, her side. And so we have to be careful that we hear the whole matter. Don't speak impure words. Ephesians 4:29. Listen, no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, he says, but that which is good to the use of edifying, there you are, building up, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Our words should be words that lift people, not tear them down. But too often in life, our words are used to tear down other people. We should use scriptural language as much as possible. And we should use spotless language. For again, let the words of my mouth be acceptable unto you, O God. And we should use saintly language. Language that the Bible says is seasoned with salt. Every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in Him. And trust in the Lord with all of your heart, and lean not to your own understanding, but in all of your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. You know, one thing I've noticed about the words of God, and they are pure words. Every word that you read in the Holy Scripture are pure words. And as the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace, David says, of earth purified seven times, thou shalt keep them, O Lord, thou shalt preserve them for this generation forevermore. Psalms 12, verse 6 and 7. Pure words. If you're going to say something, speak profitable words and pure words. But then there's something else. We ought to speak pleasant words. You know, we all like to hear pleasant things, don't we? We do. We don't like to hear bad news. You know, that's why Jesus came into the world, to give us the good news. I delight in the good news. That's what the gospel really is all about. But again, Proverbs 18, 13, he that answereth a matter before he heareth it, it is folly and a shame unto him. You cannot speak pleasant words if you don't know the story on both sides. And that's what he's saying. And you know what we ought to do? Before you speak, think. And let this little acrostic help us. Ask yourself, is it true, first of all? Before you say anything about it, is it helpful? Is it going to help someone by saying it? Is it inspiring? Is it necessary that I say? You know what I've learned? The older I get, I've learned, hey, you don't have to say something on every subject. And you don't have to take issue with everybody that says something. Is it necessary? Is it really necessary? And is it kind? That's why Paul said to think on things that are lovely. Think on things that are of good report. If there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Philippians 4 and verse 8. Listen to this. Let me tell you something. It's important. He who makes waves must be prepared to swallow the salt water. It's true. Make your words sweet. You may have to eat them. I told you a moment ago that many of us speak just thousands of words in a day time. How many of you read the obituaries in the paper? Anybody? Anybody ever read the obituaries? How many of you take the paper? Nobody. Huh. One or two? I see how interested you are in local news. No. You stay on Facebook. You ought to be on Facebook. But people don't read the paper too much anymore. But one thing I've noticed about the obits, you know, if you get a little obit in the paper, Ben would tell you this, that something like this would cost you hundreds of dollars. Very few words. Well, there was a lady named Ms. Wilson one time who came to the newsroom to pay for her husband's obituary in the paper. She was told by the kindly newsman there that it would cost her $1 a word. And that he remembered Pete, her husband, who had died. And it was certainly too bad that he had passed away, but it still was going to cost her $1 a word in that obituary. She thanked him for his kind words and bemoaned the fact that she only had $2. But she wrote out the obituary. Pete died. The newsman said that he thought old Pete deserved more and said that he would give her 3 more words at no charge. And Ms. Wilson sincerely thanked him, and she wrote out the obituary, Pete died, boat for sale. You know, what would you write? What would you write about your loved one? What kind of words would you employ? We have to watch our words. Proverbs 12 and verse 18. There is one, listen to this, whose rash words are like sword thrust. Boy, you ever been around anybody like that? I have. And I mean, their words cut deep into your spirit and into your soul. But the tongue of the wise brings healing. You and I ought to be people that speak life into one another. Words like, I matter. I am loved. I can make it. I'm hanging in there. I'm blessed. I'm a winner. And I'm more than a conqueror, as Paul says. I have favor with God and with man. Acts chapter 2. And God is going to receive the glory from everything that I do in this world. It is so important. In the book of Ephesians 4 and 29, again Paul says, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful. This is another translation, but it's true. Helpful for the building up of other people according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. I don't like to be around people that are sour and mouthing off all the time, running everybody else down. It doesn't help. And speak, fourthly, prepared words. Prepared words. You know, when I get in the pulpit every Sunday morning, I speak prepared words. Now, I've had preachers say, well, you know, I'm just going to let the Lord lay one on me this morning. I've never done that. I had a preacher friend of mine tell me one time, he said he was shaving one morning and shaving, and he said, the Lord just laid one on me. I'm going to tell you something. If I were shaving and the Lord laid on me, hey, I'd have lash scratches, cuts all over my face when I got in this pulpit. I'm going to tell you something. I use prepared words, words that I have determined that you as a congregation of God's people need to receive and we need to hear. So we need to speak prepared words. Don't just let them flippantly come out of your mouth. And hear the matter. Hear God before you get up. I tell every preacher there that we ought to do that. The trouble with talking too fast is you may say something you haven't thought of yet. What's the old saying? You need to put your brain in gear before you put your tongue in motion. Always remember that one thought. If you don't, you will end up saying something you will regret. The heart of the righteous, the Bible says in Proverbs 15:28, studieth to answer. But the mouth of the wicked poureth out evil things. You know what we do in life most of the time? We are people that are reactionary. Someone can say something and we just reach out and we react sometimes. And we get mad and we get angry. You know what? That's why the Bible says, the heart of the righteous studieth a matter. They think about what they're going to say before they say it. There's a difference between studying or giving a response, that's studying it, and reacting. We have to watch our words. It is the key. Preparation is the key. We ought to be prepared for all things. If there's one message in the Bible, it is that we be prepared, isn't it? Fill your heart with the Word of God. David said, "Your Word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against thee." That's preparation, isn't it, for when that time comes. And we need to focus on doing what is right, not what makes us feel good. I've heard people say that. Find God's will for your conversation. We don't ever think about that. What does God want me to say? 1 Peter 3:10 says, if you want to enjoy life and see many happy days, keep your tongue from speaking evil and your lips that they tell no lies. King James says that they speak no guile. Watch your words. Watch your thoughts, for they become your words. Watch your words, for they become your actions. Watch your actions, for they become your habits. And watch your habits, because they become your character. And watch your character, because they become your destiny. James 1:26 says, if you claim to be religious, but you don't control your tongue, you are fooling yourself. When you keep putting your foot in your mouth, your religion is worthless. But speak truthful words. You know, we hear a lot today about fake news. You watch the news, you hear a lot about fake news. You hear a lot of fake news, but you hear some news that's true. Our big challenge in today's world is to sort through the news. What's fake and what isn't? Speak the truth in words. The Bible says again in Proverbs 18 and verse 13, listen to it. He that answereth a matter before he heareth it, listen to it, it is folly and shame unto him. Truth and love ought to meet at one corner. That is, make sure it's true. You know, the Bible even says it when you preach the truth. You preach the truth in love, don't you? Surely you do. For Ephesians 4:15 says, but speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects unto him, he says, who is head, even Christ, Ephesians 4 and verse 15. And the greatest advantage of speaking the truth is you don't have to remember what you said. You don't need a litany of lawyers to tell you what you said. Our words ought to be like Solomon said many years ago, that they ought to be like apples of gold and pictures of silver. And ask ourselves, are my words appropriate? Are they pleasant? Are they pure? Are they lovely? Are they encouraging? Or are they soft? For Jesus said in the book of Matthew chapter 12, I tell you that on the day of judgment, people will give an account for every careless word that they speak. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Three little words that have great bearing in the lives of all people. In that Matthew 12 passage, Jesus is right. One day we'll give an account. But Ecclesiastes 3 and verse 7 says, there is a time to keep silent. And here are the three little words, a time to speak. Notice that he says that there is a time to keep silent before he says there is a time to speak. I know sometimes all of us try to watch our words. We do the very best we can. And We our actions should equal what we believe and what we say we believe. Sometimes in our best attempts to do the right thing, we fail. There's a story told several years ago, back in 1978, during a fireman strike over in England. The British Army took over the emergency firefighting. And, you know, Dee Bell has to go out and fight fires, a member of our congregation here, many, many times in other places. Well, this British Army took over that responsibility because they were so great. And in January of that year, they were called by an elderly lady in South London, believe it or not, to retrieve her cat from the fire. They arrived with impressive haste, very cleverly, and carefully rescued her cat and started to drive away. Poor kitty. You know I don't mean that. But the lady was so grateful that she invited the squad of heroes in for tea. And they were having such a great time. And as they were leaving and they were waving and they were driving away, offering their fond farewells, waving warmly to one another, they ran over the cat and killed it. Poor kitty. How do you recover from sticking your foot in your mouth? When it has happened, what do? You watch your words. I had a teacher one time in school, and she said this all the time. When the class would start talking, she'd say, "Zip it up." You will save yourself a lot of grief, according to Proverbs 21. Watch your words. Watch your words. In Acts chapter 3, verse 19 and 20, the Bible says, when Luke records these words, and it was the second gospel sermon that was delivered, the Bible says, "Repent therefore, turn back, that your sins may be blotted out, that the times of refreshing," he says, "may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send the Christ appointed for you." Sometimes we all have to repent of our sins, and that means to change our behavior. When we are guilty of saying unkind things and ugly words to one another, mean words, caustic words, we have to repent of that, and that means to change, folks. You don't say, "Well, that's just me. That's just the way I am." That's no justification in the eyes of God for your unkind words. There was one affirmation in life that changed my life forever, and it can change yours. I became a believer in Jesus Christ, and my belief led me to be baptized for the remission of my sins, because that's what God asked me to do. In Acts 2 and verse 38, Peter said, "Repent and be baptized." You think some of those people on the day of Pentecost are people that put their foot in their mouth? You better know it. You think they were guilty of saying unkind and ugly words one to another and destroying relationship? Yep. You think some of them spoke 15, 30,000 words a day? Yep. Did they need to repent? Obviously. That's why Peter said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ." Become a believer in Christ and allow your belief to bring you closer to God by being baptized and taking on Christ in your life, Galatians 3, 26 and 27, and living as Christ wants you to live. That's a resolution they made. I hope you're prepared this morning to make that same resolution, to either become a Christian or to acknowledge your sin and ask God to forgive you. If we're going to be judged by our words, it behooves us to make our relationship right with Almighty God. Let us stand and let us sing.